all jammed together, and so there might be some friction from that, but we've handled it pretty well, and most of the community supports that. We don't want a lot of bullshit and violence and,
that sounds great. I'm gonna renew the appeal here for winterized equipment, plastic, anything to winterize. There's what, 20 to 40 tents that are still winterizing. And
yeah. Well, some of those now will go to the armory, but there are others that still need tarp. A few, you know. Mm-hmm. Anything people can spare if they've got extra, we can appreciate it.
You can give a call to 425-5939. Or you can come to the SOS Save Our Shelter meeting tonight at 7 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. And I also encourage people to come tomorrow to the City Council meeting at 3:30 down at City Hall, where very soon after 3:30 the City Council will consider input on should the campground for 200 continue, or should a $1.3 million transitional trailer project for 48 be put up there instead.
I agree. People ought to get involved in what's going on with this and come to the City Hall meeting.
Plus, I encourage people to come to the 5 o'clock meeting today of the Police Review Board, which meets once a month. And if anybody out in the campground has been having problems with police abuse, you might let them know, Mike, that now is the time to bring those concerns into City Hall at 5 o'clock today. That's when the Citizens Police Review Board meets, and I'll be talking more about that on the air.
Okay, now.
All right.
Adios, Robert.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Keep up the good work.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And that was Rolling Thunder Mike Sheridan out at the Coral Reefs Campground, as Barbara Riddleman calls it. Actually, nobody else calls it that yet, but I kind of like that name. It's the Coral Street Open Air Shelter. It's the only legal place for people to sleep in Santa Cruz. It's the only campground of its kind in the nation that I know of at the moment, where actually 150, 200 people are living together, striving to maintain a safe and secure area on pennies a day, a dollar a day in essence. It's a response to the crisis in housing, the crisis in homelessness, the crisis in society that we have here in Santa Cruz and across the nation and probably across the world. And it's something I encourage everyone to support. You can support it with something as small as a raincoat. Go out there and get a raincoat to those campers. Get some rubber boots to those campers. It's wet out there. Stick your hand out the window for about 10 seconds and see what you bring back inside. That's what they're facing all day and all night. And the armory does not provide an answer. The armory only provides 120 to 140 spaces, and there are 200 to 250 people involved if you count the number that are going to the churches and to the armory. And if you count the number that are in Santa Cruz, there are hundreds and hundreds of people who are illegally outside because of, thanks to the city fathers and mothers, sleeping ban after 11 o'clock at night, as you know, in Santa Cruz. It is a $162 ticket to be caught with bedding out, to be caught sleeping, or just to be caught lying down, covering up with bedding. It's an amazing situation, and one which hopefully I will talk about with Mayor Mike Rotkin, who, by the way, and this is an announcement which I'm glad to be able to confirm, Mayor Mike Rotkin will be on my show a week from Friday, that is on the 22nd of December, sort of a ho-ho-ho pre-Christmas show. We're going to have Mayor Mike answering my questions and yours. And I commend Mike for coming on the air. I've called him RoboCop Rotkin. I've called him Motormouth Mike. I continue to refer to him in this way. He's been a revolving door city council member for a decade and a half. He's said a lot of things I don't agree with, and I've taken some votes I don't agree with. And I particularly disagree with him because he represents himself as a socialist, as a somehow the most radical type person on the council, which this is, in my opinion, hogwash. And we're going to investigate that on Friday, 10 o'clock, December 22nd. And you're invited to join us here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And the phone line, I'd like to point out, is open, 427-3772. And you're welcome to call in, but I'm going to have to defer for a moment to my... I have a guest in the studio who has been waiting patiently. You heard me mention him at the top of the hour. His name is Suleiman. He is a musician. He is a theologian, you might even say. He is a Muslim, is that fair to say? He is a black man. He plays, what's the instrument he plays? He plays a flute, I guess. A bamboo flute. And come close to the mic because we can't hear you until you, until you get really, really close. And, hi there. Not bad. And yourself?
Okay, you're doing the one great. I'm doing excellent recording. Well, I like this play.
Please do.
Because on the 19th, I'm supposed to go to court because they say that this music disturbs the peace and is excessive noise.
Uh-oh. But here we go. Listen to this criminal music coming on the air. Criminal, I'll tell you. I mean, I think they should lock you up right now, obviously. There's no question. So you were given a ticket for playing your flute?
Yes, but let me give you a brief history on my being here and when I was here before.
Sure.
Very soon, maybe the next morning or the second morning, we'll start the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, which is the month of fasting.
Right.
This is one of the 12 months that throughout the history of mankind, the Most High has saw fit to make communications with his humans here on the planet Earth. But sometime many years ago, during the month of Ramadan, the Torah was revealed, which is known as the Old Testament. Another time during the month of Ramadan, the Zaburs were revealed, which are the Psalms of David. Another time during the month of Ramadan, the angels, which were revealed to Jesus, which are 300 in number, but for some reason they are frozen in the King James Version of the Bible. The last time during the month of Ramadan, by way of the Archangel Gabriel, who has always been the messenger angel for the Most High, the Holy Quran was revealed to mankind in its entirety on the heart of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was like put into a time capsule, and it took 23 years for him to walk around the streets amongst the people revealing or reciting the revelation that was sent. And it has remained intact to this day.
And you will be fasting along with Muslims throughout the world in order to what?
The fasting is for first of all, is something that's done for one God. This is one of his requirements. It's one of the five pillars of Islam.
Yeah.
So it's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does, that when a person denies themselves food and water, mm-hmm. which are essential for your very survival,
yes.
it helps the person to get their nafs under control. And the nafs are the ego. The ego says, give me a lot of money, or give me a big house, or mm-hmm. give me... It's always a giving to me.
Mm-hmm.
So by the fasting, you learn to control that and keep it under control, is your ego.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people throughout the world
mm-hmm.
who go to bed at night and they have hunger pains.
Yeah.
And it's not because they want to, but it's the economic conditions which they live in will force them to go to bed like this.
Mm-hmm.
So by the fasting, and deny yourself, and you feel those hunger pains yourself,
you become
it makes you aware of all people out here who are going to sleep like this, with this discomfort, and it's not something that they're voluntarily doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the selfishness and the greed of other people that they are in any situation.
Now, let me ask you this, because I'm going to try to turn your attention to both that ticket that you got for disturbing the peace, I assume that's what it was for, and also to your experiences here in Santa Cruz in 1984 and your experience of police abuse, both here and in other cities, but particularly here, because I'm trying to focus on Santa Cruz. How long have you been in Santa Cruz this time so long?
This time I came the 13th of August, and I was sponsoring a widow and her children, because we came here for the peace conference that was held at Barrio River. Mm-hmm. I met this family, and they had a real desire to come here for this conference, and they have not the military was on me. They had, this situation halfway and all, but my crafts and what I make by hand, I was able to help them.
You're also a craftsperson.
Yes, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of a few of them.
I see. Have you been receiving a friendly reception from the hosts and the police here in Santa Cruz? Or have you been displaying any of your wares?
And playing the bamboo flutes, my historical roots, ancestral roots here on Turtle Island, go back for 250,000 years. My grandfather used to make bamboo flutes for years of Easter. Mm-hmm. All the young Indian boys made instruments of earth in their backyard. Mother Nature was the first flute maker, and the wind was the first flute player. In the last 25 years, I've just been traveling around trying to get just a little bit more knowledge. I'm 35 years old, and I've encountered lots of people who have lots of money and no knowledge, and have nothing to show for it now. We're doing this. On July 1st, 1984, was the last time I was here in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. I came from a traditional Islamic madrasa in Texas Hill countries here to California. And once you graduate from the school and you acquire certain credentials or a certain amount of studies, you're supposed to be able to go any place in the world and build another school. I said here in Santa Cruz, a lot of people out here from the homes who don't have jobs. This is the easiest thing in the world to solve. I mean, like, homelessness, job, that's easy. That's very, very simple. But if you deal with it from the civil rights aspect, you're beating a dead horse.
Really?
Yes. The violation of religious freedoms and human rights, those are the issues going into the next century.
Let's hold on that point, because I want you to discuss that in more length, but let's see what this caller has to say.
Hi, caller. You're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, I was just wondering if you guys had lost power down there in Free Radio Santa Cruz.
No, I think we're still going strong.
Oh, good.
We are flooding out a bit, but otherwise we're doing good.
Oh, all right, because we completely lost power up here on the west side.
You can't hear us on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Well, no, I was having trouble tuning it in.
My goodness.
I'm listening to KSCO.
No. You choose Dutch Dumbo over a bathroom's Pierre Robert? It's a shocking moment.
Well, whatever. Well, yeah, I'd want you to find batteries to make the radio work. I was just checking.
Well, I invite you to come on down at 5 o'clock. I think we're talking to activist Red Top Robert Flory, who's peace vigils on the Mall and whose support of Food Not Bombs in days of yore are legendary.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, you come on down to the Police Review Board meeting, Robert, and that's happening at 5 o'clock today.
Today?
Yeah, at the City Hall.
Oh, is there a Save Our Shelters meeting tonight?
There is one at 7 o'clock, indeed, in the basement of the Underground Cafe.
All right. Just checking.
Any other reports you want to bring to our attention?
Not at this time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
And we'll continue now. Suleiman, you were saying that civil rights is a dead horse, and you were contrasting that with human rights and religious freedom. Can you give us a little more information on that?
Let me explain it from my first appearance here in Santa Cruz and the time frame which we were in.
Mm-hmm.
On July 1st, 1984, for us as Muslims, that was the ending of Ramadan. During the month of Ramadan,
which is the month of fasting,
one of the odd nights, the odd number of nights, during the last 10 days, is known as Night of Qadr, which means the night of power.
Mm-hmm.
The night of power is greater than 1,000 months, which means those who are seriously seeking and striving for the blessings of the Most High can acquire the spiritual understanding and knowledge of 83 years in one night.
And were you able to do that?
This is my 18th year, and it is said that on that night, the angels come down to the earth and they stand to the rising of the moon.
Did the police also come down to earth, or let me ask you?
Okay. On this particular morning of July 4th, 1984,
uh-huh.
We're here in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
My colleagues and I, we were at the flea market. We came over here to do the flea market in San Jose,
mm-hmm.
but they had a festival over there, so the flea market in San Jose was not really profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So we came here to Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So our first prayer is due before the rising of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And here at this flea market, which was at the drive-in, when it was time for us to make our prayer, there was a bell that was ringing. So I said to my colleague, Darun, I said, well, this is going to be the end of Ramadan, and during that time period, the demon mind, the demon spirit is locked up for those 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he comes back out and continues, you know, his havoc.
And you ride with belly clubs and
yes,
clubs.
But not here, when I got back to Oakland.
Ah,
so
I see.
Here, I met some food makers who were here from Santa Cruz, and we exchanged new stories and played music.
Mm-hmm.
And our runs here that day were of the most vigorous kind. Live trading, boarding.
So back in 84, you didn't experience police abuse in Santa Cruz?
No, it's not a thing of police abuse here. There is a mindset and a mentality of people that's everything, and California is one of the best states for having people who don't have it together mentally or spiritually, and you walk around with guns and police uniforms and badges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I acted as a...
You get paid to do it, I mean that.
A prosecutor being in the federal system in San Francisco. I left here from Santa Cruz and went to Oakland. You know, now hold me, I'm singing praises.
You say you're a prosecutor?
I wrote a letter to the judge to find out how much knowledge he has, and he had to give me the knowledge of the prosecuting attorney. This is why I say the civil rights issues were dead, mm-hmm. because it was, I just finished getting the dry skin from head wounds. It's been 10 years.
You were beaten by police officers, is what you said.
Well, they attempted to, but as in the scriptures, it says that the angels come down and they don't go back up into the morning. So I saw the working of the angels.
Now, which police department did this to you? I tried to do this too.
And this was in Oakland, California.
This was in 1984?
This was in 1984.
Right.
Now, I have a deposition right here.
Right.
The documents, the epicenter of the earthquake, which was Santa Cruz,
mm-hmm.
and the magnitude being a number 7, February 6, 1987.
So you made that prediction then?
It was revelations that were revealed.
But let me turn from, I know you're taking a religious perspective. My perspective, however, is to try to get some of the facts out regarding, for example, your current case, which is you are going to be going to court for disturbing the peace for playing your flute.
They're not going to show up.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But maybe
we need to make sure they do. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I would like for them to show up. I would like for them to prosecute me in the court system. I just need to get back in the court system. I've been chasing for 11 years.
I
mean, I can catch
you. You never know once you get into the court system. But when is this court date?
Yeah. It's the 19th. I was given a ticket to appear the 19th. I offered to go to jail right then, but the police wouldn't take me.
Next time if you want to go to jail, don't sign the ticket, then they'll take you.
Well, that's what I knew. Well, I knew that, but I thought that these police just happen to be, you have two kinds of different polices. You have those who have some kind of logic and reason, and they operate from that point. And then you got the ones who are brutal, kick ass, do what I say, or I break your legs, and I can hide behind the wall.
These were Santa Cruz police, city police?
When I talk about police...
I don't know. I'm talking. I'm asking the people who arrested you or gave you the ticket, were they Santa Cruz City Police?
Yes. They were very, very polite. I tried to get them taken to jail. They
Where were you, in fact, ticketed for this offense?
On the corner down there by Union Grove.
Union Grove Music. And this was in November at some point, or this was this month?
Yes. But you see, I was there with another musician. He goes by the name of Tarzan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He got ticketed for drums, right?
Yes, but you see...
He got arrested for drums, right?
I don't know if he got arrested, but you have to understand the mindset and why people are against the drums.
Maybe I'm thinking of Tramp. In any case, someone recently, in the last 2 weeks, was arrested, the last 3 weeks, was arrested for drumming. And indeed, I know that these deeper questions that you raise are important ones to you, but to me, and I'm going to try to rush, I've got a bunch of stuff I'm going to try to rush on the air shortly, what I'm trying to do is get out to the public the particulars of your case, because for some of us, it is a matter of community support. We feel, that I feel at least, that musicians should not be targeted by police and conservative store owners because they don't like their looks, their music, their color, whatever, unless there is an actual problem that really involves the public health and safety. Now, this is a misdemeanor offense. I haven't seen your ticket, but if it's disturbing the peace is a misdemeanor, which means it's punishable by up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine at the maximum. And you have a court date coming up on this? Is there a date they gave you?
The 19th is supposed to be arraigned.
19th of December is your arraignment. Do you know what court that's in?
Mm-hmm. I haven't even checked in.
No problem.
It's a situation.
Yeah.
And once I go there, they're not going to prosecute me because they're going to be afraid.
Quite possibly.
Because any time a citizen says, you're disturbing my peace, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But when he says, you are disturbing the peace for the whole society, you got to prove that.
Maybe it was disturbing the police, not disturbing the peace.
Well, one time I was playing some music in front of DeLore's paper store in Oakland, and the owner came out and told me that I could not play music. I said, why? He said, why can't I get myself count my money?
Ooh! You know, the Union Grove, you're talking Union Grove Music?
No. This was at another location.
In Santa Cruz?
No, this didn't happen.
In another town. Right. Okay.
You know, I lived through a few assassinations. I almost got lynched in 1960 in Florida. Anything that saved me was I had a murder accident.
Uh-oh. You didn't want to lynch any out-of-town agitators? That would make too big a splash in the media.
I practically went 2,000 miles barefoot through Mexico, through the desert, through the mountains, through the jungles. The war is happening in Chiapas right now. There was a pre-revolutionary before that, Lucio Cabanas Barrientos, who fought against the Mexican government, who Irwin was trained from Fort Benning, Georgia. And they got the best training headquarters in the world, and they teach all Latin America how to kill their own people so they can steal all of the money.
These are important issues, but I'm going to ask you, actually, I'm going to consider that somebody might want to invite you in the air to talk about your time down in Mexico, because that sounds like an interesting subject in itself. But I'm going to again return to this incident, which may seem very trivial to some people, but to me it's not, because it's been happening to other musicians, among them Skidmark's Bob Duran, who received a disturbing peace ticket in front of Woolworths for singing songs that an off-duty ex-cop didn't like. It's happened to Phil Free, who received two disturbing peace tickets And then when he got to court, as you pointed out, Suleiman, there was no prosecution. But the harassment is real. The fear that's induced by this kind of activity by police is real. The discrimination is a real thing. So I'm going to ask, what was the name, the last name on the ticket that people can know so they can track your case in court? Let me be there.
Let me get to
he's going to check out the ticket. I want to remind you, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and I am the Robe, and I am talking to you, and hopefully you'll be talking to me, because you can call in, 427-3772, and you can also walk in. You come to Taco Bell 9:45 in the morning for our next show, which will be Friday, then I'll put you on the air. That's how Suleiman got on the air, that's how Donna got on the air. Donna, I think her name right. Who's Donna? And you really had access to these airwaves. That's the whole point of Free Radio Santa Cruz. And the next collective meeting, if you want to be on Free Radio Santa Cruz and you're looking for your own show, is 7 o'clock on Sunday at the office of Attorney Ed Fry, which is at the corner of Cedar and Maple Streets. And if you want to come to that meeting, you can join in the internal workings of Free Radio Santa Cruz. It looks like we have a call coming in, so I'm going to answer that call.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Can you take me off?
Sure.
Hang on a second. Now we're talking to a talk show host who's unable to come in because there's a major power outage in our area. Apparently there are power outages all over town because of the rain and the weather. I don't know what we can do. We're going to cover that show. We're talking to Fire here. And,
Fire, have you got a new number? Say it again.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, hang on a second. We're trying to both talk on the air and off the air. We can't do it at the same time. You're going to be around for a bit?
Hang on a second.
So, we do have, again, trying to handle, I need two mouths and three mics. So that's not going to work, but I'm going to talk to Fire in just a moment. She normally has an afternoon show, which concerns, she plays good music. She's also done interviews with people on the streets. Suleiman has a ticket here for disturbing the peace. His court date is the 19th. Actually, his court date is... Well, it is the 19th of December, 8:30 a.m. So if you're interested in tracking this case, it's Ali Abdul Salim Suleiman, S-U-L-A-Y-M-A-N. And I'm going to put on... Actually, Suleiman, why don't you talk a little bit about that case while I talk to Fire and Ear. The mic is yours.
Speaking of this one here, or the previous one, or
something. Yes, I'm getting a citation for disturbing the peace. And the individual who filed the complaint, his handwriting is very, very unlegible, so obviously he's not really too well educated if you're judged by a person's penmanship and how they sign their signature. But in Buddhism, they have a chant, Manu, the notion to the mystical law of cause and effect and sound. And when I am playing my instruments, in essence, I am activating that chant. I guess I would say, excuse me, the form of music that I play is Dhikr Allah, making a joyful sound to the Most High. And in the scriptures, it mentions a people who have blinders on their eyes and seals on their hearts, and they can never know the truth. These are the people who are disturbed by the music because it cannot go to their heart. It just seems like it just goes around on the top of their head and causes, some kind of distortion within themselves. The selfishness of a lot of these people that live in, it's not our fault that they live in buildings that, somewhere in cheapest rooms made that you can hear every kind of outside sound that comes through. But when we come to the understanding that the musicians who are in the street playing music, they provide a type of a tabaco, which is an umbrella. Any large city that you go to and you see street musicians who are playing harmonious music and putting out good sound vibrations, in the areas where they are, you don't see any muggers or pickpockets or rapers or any of the people who have to operate on a negative way of being. But as soon as you get rid of the street musicians, whether it be on the streets or on the subways or on the buses, there is no harmonious tones of peace in the air. So then you create an umbrella of darkness. And that's when you get all of your negative type of drug people and everything that are coming and operating on that guys. Because when you use it to go all the way straight to the heart, they cannot function in that type of environment. They got to go someplace else outside of earshot. Mother Nature was the first flute maker and the woman was the first flute player.
Hey, well, well said, sir.
Well said. We're going to now continue. You're welcome to hang with us for a while, Solomon, with the interview with Lisa from the streets, what I call the Riches to Rags story. She's a really spirited person, not Lisa Ann, to be distinguished from Lisa Ann, whose baby was stolen at Union Grove Music and is still in enemy hands, so to speak. Her hearing comes up on Wednesday at Juvenile Hall, which is right off Graham Hill Road. That's going to be happening, I believe, at 9:30 in the morning. And Kate Wells, attorney Catnip Kate Wells, will be handling that case. And Catnip Kate, she is so overburdened, we are doing a benefit for her at the Cafe Casanova. Cafe Casanova is having a benefit, or actually it's offering its premises for a benefit, and that'll be happening on Tuesday night at 7:30. That's so you can go to City Council at 3:30 and talk back against the community house plan to snare all the monies for the year and evict all the campers. And then at 7:30, you can go to this benefit for Kate Wells, is one of the few attorneys in town who's actually defending the rights of poor people on a regular, often pro bono, that means free basis. So here's a little from a little more of the Lisa interview from November 29th. Again, this is another Lisa, a woman who was gainfully employed a year ago, making $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and then suddenly she's on the streets.
That's what I think is a little bit backwards. And the kids that are out here, it's like, what are they giving back? They're fucking children. What are you giving them? What are you teaching them? Nothing. What are they getting from the people who gave birth to them and who put them out here? It's somebody's responsibility to take care of those kids. Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
You can't just fucking close your eyes and they're all going to go away. They're here, and they exist, and they have every right to breathe the same air that these people do, and eat the same food, and have medical care, which is not available, or dental care. I have teeth falling out of my head because I can't get dental care. What the hell's up with that?
Have you tried Welfare Parents Support Group? Ever heard of them?
Yeah, I have.
Any success?
No.
What was the sense when you talked to them? What kind of reception did you get?
They're all like very nice over the telephone, but it's like, what are they going to do? Tell you to piss off? They're getting paid to be nice to you. but they have no suggestions. They have nobody that I've spoken to has any suggestion or any way that I can be helped in my particular situation, other than find someone with a big heart that will do something for me for free. And there aren't a lot of people like that.
Anything you want to tell the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience about what you've learned or what you think that they should know about life on the streets, life as you're living it, what's facing society generally. Anything you want to tell the audience?
I don't know, not really directly about that, just that I think that a lot more people should find a lot more strength within themselves to do and say something about what's going on around them, not just for themselves, but for, you know, the kids that are out here and the kids that are growing up and the little kids that are seeing what's out here, for, you know, the teenagers, that what's going on and stuff, you know. I mean, they're not blind, you know. Somebody's got to do something for them, and what they're seeing is what they're learning, you know. And I just don't think that's right. You know, if people don't have in mind what's going on here for the children, and that's what I think is important. You know, and a lot more people should have a little more heart within themselves to do something about that, rather than just close their eyes and walk away and bitch.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
I gave donuts and milk.
Continuing though, Lisa, I was asking how the people on the street are treating you.
The people on the street treat me very well. I mean, anytime I need something or I have a problem, or, you know, even if I'm just upset about something or if I'm starving, they'll give me the last thing out of their pocket, you know, to help me, and I would do the same for them as well. You know, and they protect me and I protect them and so forth.
Have you found yourself forming any relationships with people on the street of a more intimate nature as a consequence of your proximity to people, or has your experiences over the last few years prevented you from doing that?
No, my experiences haven't prevented me from doing that. I'm pretty much, I think, a strong person within myself, so, you know, and I don't really believe in the way the system has set up, the psychological care, so to speak, for somebody in my position. You know, I pretty much brought myself out of this with absolutely no one's help, you know, and except for the people that are out here. So, I've become quite close to a lot of people that are down here.
I guess one of the questions is, what, you're a woman on the streets, and you're an attractive woman. And the question is, that's my opinion, but you know, are you finding it any more, is it difficult for a person in your situation to be on the streets? And you're obviously an independent woman who's alone, too. And you previously hadn't had a lot of experience doing this. You've previously been somewhat sheltered?
No, I haven't really been sheltered. I mean,
you've had a middle-class life, though.
Not really. I mean, I have worked and, you know, made money and been able to buy myself things, but, you know, I've also moved a lot around the country a lot. You know, I've had motorcycles and, you know, been in and out.
Experience of independence.
Yeah. But, you know, if for somebody that is not... Not that strong, you know, like for a younger woman, or, you know, or somebody, a woman just leaving her teen, say, or whatever, you know, that doesn't have that much experience, or might be afraid of more things, or afraid to speak up against somebody, you know what I mean, if they're in a bad situation, and it could be scary, I suppose. But
the reason I suggested it, Lisa, is because you've mentioned that you were abused in a marital relationship, and frequently that indicates you've let yourself get into a situation where someone is dominant over you in a bad scene, and often that means you get into it's not really a protected situation, but it's an apparently protected situation where a man is assuming a protective role but actually is assuming a controlling and domineering role.
Right, but the only reason that I continue to stay in that situation was because at that time, I felt that I had no choice because of the fact that I had a 5-year-old little girl, and I could not find anybody to help me in my family or within my circle of friends at that time, or anything, you know, anyone, anywhere, you know. So it was like, I did the best I could do to protect my daughter and make sure that she was all right, and that was my major concern. You know, it wasn't myself. So
you were not, was this like you were being constantly abused? It was a case of, let's say, one instance of heavy abuse that broke up?
It was, but it was constantly. but it was not where she was never endangered directly, only indirectly by her presence, you know, during any of that. But that didn't happen often. It was usually if she was asleep or if she was, you know, with her father who...
Was he in Santa Cruz?
Or? Yeah, or, you know, if she was at grandma's house or something like that.
You haven't had problems with this man since?
I did, since I moved out, yeah, when I lived at the St. George, and he got a restraining order against me for things that I never did, that he totally made up. He got his girlfriend, who I've never met in my life, to go to court and sign a, you know, testify, whatever, for a restraining order against me, saying that I threatened to kill her and follow her home from work and such, and I don't even know who this woman is.
And have you yourself been physically assaulted or harassed since then by him?
Once he came to the front door of the St. George and he tried to grab me and, you know, pretty much jack me up there, but a couple of the people that lived there backed me up and helped me, so that...
And since you've been on the street, you haven't had any problems?
No.
So, but you don't recommend street life as an answer to these kinds of problems?
No, definitely not.
Arrest that man with his dog on the mall.
Two o'clock, we'll leave the dogs on the mall.
Well, listen, I want to thank you. Is there anything final you want to add?
No, I don't think so, dude. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thank you for talking and sharing this with everybody else.
And that was a late November interview with streetman named Lisa, who, as I said, was earning $30,000 to $40,000 a year at the University of California a year ago and is now on the streets, talking about life there and fighting back. We have another interesting interview coming up. We hope to have best in the business, Becky Johnson, calling in. Becky is a kind of a hostess or talk show person on community TV, as well as a welfare mom who's raised three kids successfully and has got some rather strong things to say about CPS. And she's also been involved in the recall campaigns against District Attorney Drumhead Art Danner, our current District Attorney, in spite of tippling a few drinks and plowing into somebody, in spite of paying off a hush money to an assistant DA with your money. He's still DA, amazing. But he's being sued in court by Ed Fry, who's also, by the way, due to call in. And Uncle Ed is not called yet, so we're hoping that the district attorney has been fighting DA Dana is going to call in. What do we got? We had a report this morning from Sacramento, actually, I wanted to pass on to you. My recording facilities are down. My room is leaking. I'm still in good health, but facilities are crumbling here. By the way, I hear that there's flooding in the beach flats for all you on, is it Earthen Street or Earthen Street? Anyway, I fumbled that report, but stay out of the rain, unless you can't stay out of the rain, in which case, whoop it up and boogie it up, folks. And remember the campground people as we're speaking. Campground, the only place for legally for people to sleep at night, the only place for people to be during the day, whether any kind of real shelter, in privacy in Santa Cruz, for those who have no money. They need your help. They're having a meeting tonight. SOS, Save Our Shelter, meets at 7 o'clock at the Underground Cafe. Be there. Bring your plastic, bring your winter gear, bring everything you've got that can help out. Anyway, Sacramento Food Net Bombs. Food Net Bombs, you may know, is an organization that feeds people free, believes in empowering people, believes in making poverty visible, believes in making clear the kind of waste that's happening in major cities where food, not bombs, should be the priority. Sacramento Food Net Bombs has recently received a phone call from the city group, the Downtown Partnership, saying that they will need a permit. And so apparently the old go-get-a-permit number is coming up for Food Net Bombs in Sacramento. Something similar was tried against Santa Cruz Food Net Bombs and its predecessor organization, SWAP, Soup Without a Permit. The point being to get rid of the organization, not to get them to serve food in a more healthful way. Permits can only be had
if you are serving out of institutional kitchens. Hence, the satellite shelter programs, many churches do not have permits, but they serve meals anyway. And in Santa Cruz, they went after us for serving food at the town clock. In San Francisco, they went after Food Not Bombs and arrested over 1,000 people in the last 8 years for serving food in front of City Hall and down in the Haight across from McDonald's. They are arresting people for serving food as a political tactic because they don't like to see, they don't want the city to know, they don't want it to be clear that the city is not doing its job, that people are hungry in great numbers in the city and need help. Now we have an incoming call here. Let's see what's happening. So much for that. Try again, Carl. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to actually scramble for a tape here. And we're going to actually have a phone call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, hi, Uncle Robert. This is Robert Lee. How you doing?
Oh, not bad, Robert Lee.
Yeah, I've been hearing a little bit of your program.
Great.
And I was going to call with an update on the Legal Aid Society's case against the county.
This is the same county that wants to get rid of the campground, or wants to give it no support anyway, and can't find a place in all the many thousands and thousands of acres it has for a homeless low-income campground. It also wants to deny its own the laws, which apparently mandate building a certain number of low-income houses. Is that right?
That's correct.
Talk about that for a bit.
Well, basically, the county is not complying with what is considered called a fair share program for housing for low income within the county.